Psalm chapter 37. Psalm chapter 37. This is one of my favorite chapters in the Bible for a few reasons. If I wanted to get one thing across to you tonight is that we must trust God. We must trust God. Throughout this psalm, David is just pouring out his heart to the Lord. And there's just so many promises in this psalm. And it's just a wonder and a thrill to my heart. And David, in verse 25, David said, "I have been young and now I'm old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread." David says, I have been young and now I'm old. I've seen a lot of things. I've done a lot of things. And I've been a lot of places. But I can say that the Lord has never forsaken me. I have never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. And so David wrote this psalm, and he said, and above all things, you know, David had seen hard times. You know, Saul, his father-in-law, had run after him and tried to kill him many times. He had been so many different places and facing Goliath and so many different trials, and yet the Lord brought him through that. So tonight I would ask you, what are you worried about tonight? You know, in this life, there's many things that we can worry about, many things to trouble us. Are you worried about, maybe the crops? The weather hasn't been so good lately. How about, the economy or, the war or government? Or what are you worried about tonight? You know, maybe it's not even something that anybody else knows about except you. But what are you worried about tonight? Tonight, I would like to look at six commandments or precepts in this psalm. A precept is a commandment or a direction given as a rule of action or conduct. Seven things that we are to do that the Lord may bless us, that the Lord may shine upon us. So let us pray before we go any farther. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day. Lord, I thank you for the beautiful weather, and I thank you for this opportunity I get to preach. Father, I just pray that you would speak from your word. Lord, and that you speak to my heart. In Jesus' name, amen. So the first commandment is found in verse 1. Verse 1 says, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb." So the first commandment we see is, fret not thyself. Fret not thyself. Proverbs 24, you don't have to turn now, I'll read it. 24 verse 18 and 19 says, 19 and 20. "Fret not thyself because of evil men, neither be thou envious at the wicked, for there shall be no reward to the evil man. The candle of the wicked shall be put out." You know, many times I find in my life, I see friends that I have that aren't saved or just unsaved in general. They have a good job. They're getting a lot of money. They look like they're having fun in their sin. And I say, man, that looks like a lot of fun. Why can't I do that? Why can't I be like that? I know they're not saved, they seem to be having such a great time, you know, and I'm not. Well, the Lord says, fret not thyself because of evildoers. That word fret carries the idea of heating oneself in vexation, where it's all you can think about. It's consuming you. It says, fret not thyself because of evildoers. Don't be jealous. You know, we as Christians are not to be jealous of those people that are wicked. You know, they may look like they're having the greatest time. They may look like nothing's wrong. But deep inside, that's not, although it may look like it's fulfilling their desires, it's really not. And the Bible says in verse 2 why we are not to fret over them. It says, "For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb." The Bible likens them to grass, which will soon be cut down. You know, somebody said the grass cannot escape the mower. You know, it can grow as high as it wants, but it can't escape the mower. It can't go anywhere. And it said, "Though the wicked may be like they're having fun, they will soon be destroyed." And it also likens them to green herbs, or a sprout, a small sprout which will soon be wilted by the hot summer sun. 1 Peter 1:23 also gives us another reason why we're not to be fretting about them. It says, "Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever." Folks, we don't have to worry about what we have in this life, because our treasure is in heaven. Our treasure is laid up, and our treasure is something that will never rot. It will never pass away. But the things of this life, they will soon be gone. 1 John 2:15 through 17 says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." You know, one afternoon, somebody was preaching that text, and it never really hit me, that last phrase, "But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." I said, man, that is a great promise. That is a great promise of the Lord, that if we are serving the Lord, the things that we lay up in heaven will never pass away. They will abide forever. So we are to fret not about evildoers. Secondly, we are to simply trust in the Lord. Verse 3 says, "Trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed." Somebody said, faith cures fretting. Faith cures fretting. No matter what we're worried about, if we have faith in the Lord like we ought to, we won't worry. We won't fret. We'll trust in the Lord. Charles Haddon Spurgeon said, "Thou shalt not wander in the wilderness of murmuring, but abide in the promised land of content and rest." You know, we're not to worry and busy ourselves about the things of this world, but abide in the promised land of contentment and rest. It also says, "Trust, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed." You know, the Lord wants us to be shepherd. He wants to shepherd us. That's what that word means. Verily thou shalt be fed, or shepherded. The Lord wants us to be under His care. He wants to shepherd us. We must allow ourselves to be shepherded. We must allow ourselves to be put under His care. The great Master, the great Physician, our Shepherd, our Father. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths." Familiar verses, but great truths. He shall direct thy paths if we are trusting in Him. So thirdly, we are to delight ourselves in the Lord. Verse 4, "Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass." These verses mean much to me, just in many things that I have seen the Lord answer, in prayers and just many things in my life. But we are to delight ourselves in the Lord. We are to be happy in the Lord. That word delight there gives the idea of to take exquisite delight in. We are to delight in the Lord like we delight in nothing else. Now here's where the rubber meets the road. Just a personal illustration. You know, just a few weeks ago, my girlfriend was here, Laura. I'm sure many of you met her. Now, I love talking with her. I love being with her. I delight myself in her. But the Bible says, I am to take exquisite delight in the Lord. I am to delight in the Lord more than I delight in being with my girlfriend. Now, that's where the rubber meets the road, and that's where it gets difficult. You know, sometimes I ask myself, I thought about this today. Laura is now in California, so they're 2 hours behind us. So when she is finally ready to talk, it could be 10 o'clock, which would make it 12 o'clock here. And the other night, I woke up. I just happened to wake up, and we were able to talk. It was like 1:30 in the morning. And I thought, you know, I'll wake up at 1:30 in the morning to talk to Laura, but I won't get up a half hour or 45 minutes earlier to do my devotions. Now, something's not right in the mix there. I'm delighting more in what I want to do than in the Lord. You know, that's something that each one of us has to deal with every day. What is taking the place of our delight in the Lord? The Bible says, if we delight in the Lord, He will give us the desires of our heart. Not the desires that our flesh would have, but the desires that we would have if we are delighting in Him. But we're also to delight in His Word. Jeremiah 15:16 says, "Thy words were found, and I did eat them, and Thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart. For I am called by Thy name, O Lord God of hosts." Is His word joyful unto you? Is it the joy and rejoicing of your heart? You know, often how many copies of the Bible do we have? But in other places in this world, people would love to have a chapter or a verse of the written Bible. But five or six Bibles sit on our shelf and we don't really care about it. Every Sunday we go and dust off the cover and take it to church. How evident is that in my life? And that not ought to be. This Bible and our God should be the things that I delight in more than anything else. So we're to delight ourselves in the Lord. We're to fret not and to trust in the Lord. But fourthly, we're to commit thy way unto the Lord. Commit your way unto the Lord. Verse 5 and 6. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. And He shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. To commit, that idea, that word gives the idea of to roll. We are to roll our burdens upon Him. Spurgeon said, "Roll the whole burden of life upon the Lord. Leave with Jehovah not thy present fretfulness merely, but all thy cares. In fact, submit the whole tenor of thy way to Him. Cast away anxiety, resign thy will, submit thy judgment, leave all with the God of all." You know, sometimes we don't know how to handle certain situations. But God, the God of all, let Him have it. Leave your all with the God of all. He understands. Cast all your burden upon Me. Cast it all upon the Lord. We are to roll our lives to the Lord. Give Him everything. If we commit our road or our path of life to Him, He will accomplish our desires. The Lord will see it through. He will give us the strength to carry on. Verse 6 says, "And He shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday." If we look to His honor, He will see to ours. If we commit our way to the Lord, He will show others our righteousness, and they will have respect for us if we have faith. Some people love to disregard our faith. They love to joke of it and make it a mockery. But the Lord says if we commit our way to Him and trust in Him, He shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light and thy judgment as the noonday. If we look to His honor, He will see to ours. Number 5, we are to rest in the Lord. To rest in the Lord, to be silent or to be still. Verse 7, "Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass." Rest in the Lord. Psalm 62:5 says, "My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from Him." That word wait literally means to be resigned to rest, to be resigned. I give everything to the Lord. I rest in Him. I keep nothing back. I don't rest in anything else. I am resigned to the Lord and to Him alone. Wait patiently for Him. You know, above all else, God is worth waiting for. God is worth waiting for. Rest in the Lord. Stop our worrying. Stop our fretting. The Lord will take care of it. You know, a little child, if he is scared, what does he do? He doesn't run to a stranger. He runs to his parents. He runs to his mom or his dad or whoever's nearest, a family member that he knows. That's the way it ought to be to us. Our place of rest, our escape should be the Lord. Our high tower, the proverb says, should be the Lord, our Heavenly Father. We are to fret not because we have already seen their end. And lastly, this evening, we are to cease from anger. Verses 8 and 9, "Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil, for evildoers shall be cut off. But those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth." Those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. Cease from anger. Cease means to let go. Let go of your anger. Let go of whatever is raging inside. Maybe you're angry because you can't do what you want to do. You can't do what your flesh tells you to do. The Lord says, let it go. Or maybe you're angry because people out there do what they want to do, but you can't. The Lord says, let it go. Let go from anger at God. Let go from anger and jealousy of the wicked. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. It says, those that wait upon the Lord. Verse 9, "For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord," literally those that are waiting for the Lord, those that are waiting for the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. It has the idea of enduring, of waiting. You know, Paul in the New Testament likens our life, the Christian life, to a race. It says, endure. Endure the race. Run the race with patience. We're only here for a little bit. We're just pilgrims traveling through this world. All we have to do is wait for the Lord to come take us home. Come take us home to a better place, you know, of riches that we can't even think about. You know, one of my favorite songs is Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. And it says, turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and His grace. In John Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress, there are two characters that illustrate this quite well. The one is Passion. Passion, he has his good things first, but they are soon over. You know, he has what he wants now. He gets what he wants now. He doesn't have to wait. But they are soon over. They're just for a season, and they're gone. But there's patience. And this character, Patience, he has his good things last. He has to wait for them. He doesn't get them right when he wants them. He has to wait. But in the end, they last forever. Verse 10 says, for yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. Spurgeon said, the shortness of life makes us see that the glitter of the wicked great, or the glitter of the wicked, the most prominent wicked, is not true gold. You know, one of the poems that I have is in a book, one of my favorite books, says, all that is gold does not glitter. And the shortness of life makes us see that the glitter of the wicked great is not true gold. You know, we may see the things of this world, they look good. Man, we wish we could have them now. They look sparkly, they look nice. But they're not true gold, they're not worth it. Every sin has a price, they're not worth the price to be paid. You know, I think of many movie stars and many actors, many famous people of our day. They have houses, they have boats, they have everything. Everything that they could want, or so it seems. But then, how many of them come to an early death? You know, back before I got right with the Lord, I guess you could say, and Daniel could testify to this, when I first came to school, the music that I listened to was more primarily country and oldies, what they would call oldies rock and roll, 60s and 70s. That was my favorite music. And I said, man, there's nothing wrong with this music. I don't listen to the words. It's just the music, whatever. I'm fine. I won't do those things. But then I started to do a little reading up on many of the artists, if you would call them, or the musicians, and how many of them came to an untimely death. You know, people flocked to them. They said, man, these guys are great. But how many of them died because they overdosed on drugs or drinking or whatever? People thought they had it all, but in real life they had nothing. How many of them committed suicide because their lives were filled with nothing? They were empty. They had everything this world could want, but their lives were empty. And we look at that and say, man, that would be great. Look at all they're doing. That would be so much fun. But on the inside, they're empty. It's not true gold. What we have, folks, is true gold. We have the promises of God, our Father. And if we are faithful to Him, He will be faithful to us. So in conclusion, verse 10 and 11, for yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. First of all, the end of the wicked. They shall come to nothing, to naught. Their lives are empty, and they've come to nothing. But the end of the meek, they shall take possession of the earth. We have the victory if we trust in Christ. Just a little side note, Daniel can testify to that. He was a great friend of mine my freshman year, and he didn't listen to that kind of stuff with me. He helped bring me out of it. That's why I want Daniel to testify of it. And it was through his testimony and his friendship that the Lord has me where I am today, I believe. He used Daniel greatly in my life. But the end of the meek, they shall take possession of the earth. We have the victory. Hudson Taylor said, let us give up our work, our plans, ourselves, our lives, our loved ones, our all, right into God's hands. And then when we have given all over to Him, there will be nothing left for us to be troubled about. Have you given your all to the Lord this evening, or are you keeping something back to worry about yourself? You know, sometimes I find myself, I love to worry about something. That way, if it doesn't go right, I can just be downcast the rest of the day and have people feel sorry for myself. Have people feel sorry for me. You know, my flesh loves that. I can feel sorry for myself, and other people say, hey man, what's wrong? If I can get other people it's great for my flesh. That's a selfish motive. And I'm not giving it all over to the Lord. And lastly, verse 23 of Psalm 37. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. I have been young, and now am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. We have seen 6 commands from God tonight to heed in our daily lives. To not fret, to trust in the Lord, to delight ourselves in the Lord. Commit thy way to the Lord. Trust in Him. Rest in the Lord. Cease from anger. Have you given all up to Him? Are you trusting in God fully? Or is there something you've kept back for yourself? Trust in the Lord. No matter what we're worrying about, no matter what we're going through in our lives, the Lord, if we are faithful to Him, He will be faithful to us. Are you delighting yourself in the Lord tonight? Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day. Lord, I thank you for your word.